edition of Ghostly Talk.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And yeah, this is Ghostly Talk.
It sure is.
I'm feeling really relaxed, finally.
Yeah?
How about you?
Oh, well, you know, I just got back from Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I had a vacation.
You slept good.
Well,
you
had a good 10 hours after my 12-hour-long drive back from
Atlanta.
Everything
started to slow down now, it seems like.
Thank heaven.
Yeah, because, I mean, we both, everybody who listens to the show regularly or talks to us on the message boards or whatnot, knows that, like, the last few weeks have just been utter hell
for me and Doug. Nonstop.
Yeah, it has.
Amazing action. Just go on. I'd like, everybody was doing everything. You were moving.
Yeah.
I went to Felt. I had this trip to go to Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Everything all was happening all at the same time.
Yeah, it was just...
And Halloween, of course.
Halloween,
was all mixed right in there.
Yeah, it was a complete mess.
But this was an interesting fall so far.
I think we all pulled through in fair form. It's raining outside, so if anything cuts out on you guys or we suddenly go to nothing...
That's just the power.
That's just the lightning killing us here. But really, we're getting rain like this in November, though. Hard rain like this. You know, because it's been kind of warm.
Yeah.
And
well, it wasn't in Cobb County, Georgia. It was the first 2 days was rain.
Oh, wow.
And cold. It was like in the 30s.
It was nice here this weekend.
Well,
we went on a ghost hunting.
Well, this weekend was okay. It, even down in Georgia.
Okay.
Before that was rain and cold. And
of course, it's the one day I spend the whole day inside because I just didn't want to see anybody. So I just stayed in the house all day yesterday and came out when the sun set like a vampire, I guess. That was about it. You were on vacation, though. You went on vacation.
Yeah.
How was it?
Well, it was really interesting.
Okay.
I did some stuff. You know, I read books and stuff. But we also went to a battlefield. We went to the Kennesaw battlefield in Kennesaw, amazingly, you know, in Kennesaw, Georgia. And I did not saw any ghosts. I thought that was cute. Saw, Kennesaw, saw, ghosts. I know, all right. I did not see any ghosts, but because we went during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, like, go up to the top of Kennesaw Mountain, and we saw the battlefield. We saw, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of stuff. We went to the place where you go for information and brochures and pamphlets, and you can buy little... You know,
overpriced gifts. Yeah,
yeah, and I did all that, and then the next day we went to Stone Mountain
because
down there's pretty mountainous, and there's a mountain, and the top of it is really all stone.
Okay,
and you take a tram up there, and then you get out on this stone mountain, and there was actually a guy on the top of the mountain. There's this, like, 300-foot tower.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's for, like, radios and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they take lights. They string Christmas lights and turn it into a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was up there doing that while we were there. And I'm like, oh, my. It was windy.
He must be the new guy on staff, huh?
Yeah, he's the new guy. And they sent him up there. And I got pictures of him, you know, up in the thing. Then the next day we went to the World of Coca-Cola.
Oh, yes.
And
heard about this in depth.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. The World of Coca-Cola in Atlanta, Georgia, right next to the Underground Atlanta. It was that was amazing.
Mm.
That was like totally awesome. That was my favorite part.
World of Coca-Cola, you said.
Yeah, because
right?
I'm let's, obviously
let's clarify that before anybody.
Yeah,
went to the World of Coke.
Coke found the Underground Atlanta. But no, you get all at the end of the tour. You pay $6, and at the end of the tour, you get you go in these two rooms. One is the American Coca-Cola products,
mm-hmm.
and it's all the Coca-Cola products that like they make. And then in the next room, it's the international Coca-Cola products.
Yeah,
stay away from the international Coca-Cola products.
I think you compared some of it to Alka-Seltzer. Actually,
Alka-Seltzer would have been preferable.
Oh,
you know, okay, our listeners are all over the world. Folks in...
Oh, God, I forgot.
Yeah.
Your pop sucks.
Well, they call it soda down there. They don't call it pop. But anyway, I know.
Your soda does not taste very good.
The folks in Italy, okay, you guys who listen to Ghostly Talk, there is this thing. I don't remember what it was called, but it's the Italian Coca-Cola product,
mm-hmm.
the one that they featured from Italy. And they described it in English as a bitter aperitif. Okay.
That just don't sound good.
That's how they described it. And they should have just said, do not drink poison.
Throw crossbones on it?
Yes. I think that should be the logo for this soda. And it was so bad. I would have preferred Alka-Seltzer. Oh. I really would have. because, oh my gosh, it was so bad. There's folks in Italy, I feel for you, okay?
You know what, though? I mean, let's be fair.
Shaka-kata to this, didn't I?
I mean, an inside joke.
No, that was from our pre-show party, yeah.
But, no, in all fairness, though, let's just say, though, I mean, probably if someone straight from Italy, like, tried something from here in the States, they would probably be, like, if they had their own, like, paranormal talk show, you know, internet talk show in Italy, they would probably be talking about the American Coke like it was complete garbage, too. So let's, in all fairness, probably, you know, it's just different tastes. But, yeah, I mean, your pop sucks regardless. I don't care.
Shelley popped up. Evidently, people are having problems hearing Ghostly Talk tonight. Yes, we're pretty full.
Yeah, we're
going to be working. We're going to try and work with the people of the online radio network, Torn Radio.
Yeah.
We're going to try and work with them to get more streams.
Yeah, that's what we're working on right now. So hopefully in the next week or two, we'll have that up and running so more people will be able to get on live with us.
Yeah, we're working on getting more streams with them. And that, by the way, visit the torn-radio.com if that's their URL.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're going to hopefully be carried on them if we can work it all out.
Moving up in the world.
And they got some awesome shows. They've got Wrestle Talk and stuff like that. So it's going to be a pretty cool network to be associated with.
Now, you said...
I did. I got a ghost story from Atlanta. For you guys.
Doug delivers.
I went to battlefields and stuff like that, got absolutely nothing until like the very last night. Mm. After this World of Coca-Cola thing, we went back to the house and my back went out.
Sat in the bathroom for a while and went
I'm splashing water on my face. I just could not get right. So I'm like, okay, I went down with my friend Al and I said, Al, you gotta take me back to the hotel because I'm gonna faint. So we go back.
It's because you have like a pound of sugar in your stomach. Just a hunch.
And it could have been the bitter aperitif, you know. It just like locked my muscles like a snake would, you know, snake venom. Some of them are they like lock your muscles so that you can't move. I think that's what was happening to me. Anyway, so I was doing not very well. Got back to the hotel. And I was laying there, motel, it was a Red Roof Inn, okay,
I don't think you were staying at the Ramada or anything like that.
No, it was the Red Roof, because most of the time we'd just sleep at the motel. But anyway, so we go to I went back, I laid there flat on my back for a while, trying to, you know, work the muscles out. I called my mom, because she was working, it was 888 number, so I called her, because I love calling people at work, because it's free, and so I talked to her, and then I did some work. I actually had to dig out my laptop, because the folks at work said, oh, patch him over to me, because I got some work for him to do. So I slowly, you know,
creeped out of your bed.
And set up my laptop. I didn't have a phone cord to get on the internet. This is part of the story, by the way. I know it sounds like I'm just building up, but it's actually an amazing set of coincidences that brought me to this story, and I want to describe them. And it was coincidence that I happened to be laying there. It was coincidence that I happened to call my mom, and then it was she works at the same place I work at on the telephones. And it was coincidence that I got patched through to one of the other workers there. It was coincidence that he said, you know, look, you got work to do. So that sent me, and I said, well, I don't have a thing. I'd have to walk slowly to the mall and buy a cord, one of them phone cords that go from the laptop to the telephone. Because the telephones had a data port, but I didn't have a cord. So I go, he says, well, go up to the office. Maybe they've got some. So off to the office I walk. Slowly.
You got a phone cord?
And I ask for a phone cord. They go, well, that's not the kind of thing we have. She says, but let me look.
We got ice if you want.
Do you want ice or maybe a shampoo bottle?
Yeah.
But no, I need a phone cord. So she goes, well, people leave things.
Got like, you know, Red Roof Inn on the side.
People leave things in their hotel rooms when they check out.
Okay.
And she says, let me look in the lost and found kind of thing, because they leave them.
I don't know what they leave there.
And if they, actually she told me. I talked at great length with this lady. It turns out the number one thing that is left in a hotel room, or at least a motel room like the Red Roof Inn, cell phone chargers. So, all you folks with cell phones, if you go to a Red Roof Inn and you plug in to charge up your battery, don't leave the charger.
Yeah, don't forget it.
Because they only keep it for 30 days. And then they toss it. Because they can't use it. Because if they don't have a cell phone like yours, they're not going to be able to use it.
Uh-huh.
So they just throw them away if you don't go and claim it within 30 days. So that's the number one thing that's left, evidently, in motels. Cell phone chargers.
Statistically speaking,
yes.
The government has researched it.
And so anyway, she goes, I'm going to go look. So she goes in the back. She comes out. She has this phone cord. It's black. It matches my laptop, so I'm like pretty geeked about it. And she says, you can borrow it. And she took the, you know, she wrote down it was borrowed by, you know, what room I was in.
Like somebody of Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, it was borrowed by the Ghostly Talk dude. And so she drags it over, or I drag it over to the room, I plug it in, I do my work, okay?
Yeah.
Or I start to do my work. Before I got online, though, because I had to program my username and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so while I'm putting all that in, the phone rings. It's this lady from the desk, and she goes, you know what, I just looked. And it's so strange, because we go through this box every month, and we throw out anything that's over 30 days old.
Ah.
Because we are only required, or our policy is, or whatever it is,
30 days.
We only keep it for 30 days. If you don't come back and claim it, or call us and, you know, do whatever, make arrangements, it's gone. We throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was there since July 6th, I think it was.
Okay.
So that means...
It's yours.
That means, yeah, I got to keep it. So I got to keep this phone cord, although, I mean, they're, what, $2 or whatever at the store.
But you're, like, the first person in history can say that's like, one thing they... I mean, I've stolen plenty of soap. Plenty of shampoo. I've got a couple pillows.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. High school band trips, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, those are wild.
What else I get? Sheet?
Oh, did I win on the MFPS message board for last week? Gosh! I thought that was so good.
It was very good.
Yeah, but it wasn't the way... I'm going to have to crawl through that. Anyway, the TeamMFPS.com, they have the message board. They have every week they do a caption photo contest.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Check it out. It's pretty ridiculous.
Anyway, so I went and I got to keep this cord, but it was a bizarre set of circumstances again that I got to keep this cord because it was well over 30 days old, and normally they throw things away. But I got this cord, I got online, I did my work. Later on, because I hadn't eaten with the bunch because I was stuck in the hotel room with a bad back, I went, walked like two doors down to the Waffle House. You know how we have 7-Elevens and now CVS's are on every corner?
Mm-hmm.
Waffle House. Waffle Houses. Everywhere. There's Waffle Houses next to Waffle Houses. It's just absolutely amazing down there. So I walk up to this Waffle House. And I ordered my little hamburger or whatever and ate. I was done. I was reading my book. I was done with a chapter. I said, this is a good time. I'm going to go back to the hotel. I pack everything up. I go over to the thing to pay, the cashier.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady says, I thought that was you. And I turned, and there's the lady from the Red Roof Inn.
I thought you were going to say, you're Doug from Ghostly Talk, aren't you? Like, oh, yes!
I got that a lot, but I was like...
Can I get an autograph?
But I was like, oh, yeah. Because she's, you know, I recognize her because she was in her Red Roof, you know, uniform kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know that cord. I have to say thank you so much because you helped out. You know, because there's, you know, some customers that I was able to help,
mm-hmm.
even though I was on vacation. And so you've made a lot of people happy, you know, up in Michigan. And so, you know, thanks a lot. And then she says, well, you know, when she asked a little bit of, you know, what my trip was like, because she knew I had been there for 5 days. Or 5 nights.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I said, well, we went to Stone Mountain. We went to Kennesaw Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the World of Coca-Cola. And I said, we're checking out tonight, but I'm really glad we went to Kennesaw because I bought a book on ghosts and Civil War ghosts. And she goes, let me tell you about the place you're staying in. And I'm like, ooh, this is good. So she paid, and we went outside, and we stood there. And we talked about the Red Roof Inn. Evidently, before it was a Red Roof Inn, the night manager of the motel had to go out. Evidently, some people were stealing the TVs out of the rooms. And so he shot this guy and who was stealing the TVs out of the rooms and dragged his bloody carcass into the office. At where he then died.
I found in the parking lot.
Look, I found this bloody carcass in the parking lot. And they dragged this, you know, dying guy into the office,
mm-hmm.
what is now the office of the Red
Room.
And then the guy died, but not the night manager, but the shot guy, the guy who got shot, who was stealing the TVs. So there was this
There's justice like right there, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, down south, you don't mess around. Woohoo! These people are, do not mess around with them.
No shoplifting.
Or yeah. Anything. So this guy had died in the office. And then, and that was about 8 years ago or so.
Okay.
And then 6 years ago is when the lady I was talking to started working at the Red Roof. And, well, it wasn't a Red Roof then. She started working there, and there's like all this activity going on. They'd be working at night in the office,
yeah.
And they would hear someone come in. And of course, they're in the back room, kind of thing, doing whatever work they have to do. They come out to you know check in a customer or whatever they have to do. There's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
But they had just heard somebody come in, but nobody actually came in. Then they're in the office, and things will sound like they're moving, like papers being shuffled around. Or or things sliding across the table, that kind of stuff. They go out and nothing has been moved. There's a closed circuit television kind of thing that points into the office or into one of the ice room or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's pointing there and it's on all the time. She says you can sit and watch the monitor. Because obviously long, boring nights at the Red Roof are, for the desk clerks are just not very much fun. And when they're done with their work, they're just like, la, la, la. So you can sit there, watch the monitor, and like a blur will just like slowly crawl across the screen and then disappear and be not blurry anymore. And you're like,
it wasn't a tumbleweed?
Well, not there because it was inside, and so you're like, so you see this blur go across the closed circuit TV monitor, and you just like watch it, but it's not normal. It's not a normal thing that happens because normally it's just a crystal clear black and white picture, because they've obviously watched this TV screen for hours on end, at night, and there's certain times where a blur will just happen. So there's all this stuff, and then they remodeled it into an actual Red Roof, and this kind of activity ceased for about, she said, for a year, or maybe a year or two, and then it has now started back up again, and it's happening. People will come in, they'll go, and there's nobody there.
So the guys check in, but they don't check out.
Evidently, they want to check in, but so the actual, after all of that stuff, and after talking with probably a dozen or so people about ghosts, down there, because it's one of the things I always talk about. By the way, every single person I talked to when I was down there in Atlanta, Georgia, I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 ghosts, right?
Yeah.
And then they go, have you been to Savannah? Evidently, and this was like a recurring theme. Everybody in Georgia, at least that I talked to in Atlanta, Georgia, evidently thinks that Savannah is, like, just obscenely haunted. Savannah, Georgia.
Really?
Which is in the southeastern part of Georgia. So evidently, like, a good trip to go on would be to Savannah, Georgia.
Mm.
But, and then I looked it up on the Shadowlands, because, that's what us ghost hunters always do. We always go back to the Shadowlands.
Yeah.
I printed it out. There's, like, a page and a half of Savannah, Georgia listing.
Oh, wow.
I'm not kidding. So, and no other like place that I've ever run across has that many listings in that I found anyway in the Shadowlands. So I was like really impressed.
So where are we going to go?
I want to go now, but
you got to come down from the first trip.
Yeah, this trip has been like exhausting, but so I did get my ghost story from Georgia. So I did my work.
You thought we were going to talk about something like some like old fable of old old Hennessy walking down the street and seeing people. No, we're talking about hotels.
No, this is like a real ghost, or well, it's real to the people who've experienced him, and it happens. It's an ongoing thing. No, I did not investigate it because that was my very last night. It was 1 a.m. I was suffering from a backache. I had to get some sleep because the next day, we were going to check out. That was at 1 a.m. At noon, we were going to check out. At 1, we were going to go. We were going to be eating lunch, and then at 2, we were going to leave for our 12 to 14 hour trip home.
Oh.
So I could not investigate. It was just like
man.
Physically impossible.
Interesting at that though. Very interesting.
I mean, how cool is that? And how many things had to come in line? Like, first, the guy had to die, right? Then the lady had to move from Florida up to Georgia and get a job at the Red Roof. Then they had to, then I had to get a backache and be, sent back to my to my hotel room. Then I needed to call and have to use my laptop on the internet. And then I had to have forgotten my cord. And then I had to have gone to the office to get the cord. And then I would have, had to, do my work. And then I would have had to have gone, because I missed dinner, would have had to have gone to Waffle House on the same day that she forgot her lunch, because usually she brings her lunch to work, packs the lunch. She forgot it. She goes over to Waffle House, and I happen to be there at the exact same time, and we checked out, and then she told me the story.
Wow.
I mean, all these amazing coincidences came together to where, on the very last night, I got my ghost story from Georgia. I thought that was
very
totally
cool. Very cool.
That rocked. Oh, and I spent 22 minutes of our hour.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Oh, one of the funniest shows. This hour has 22 minutes. It's a Canadian news farce show. It's hilarious. But this hour,
where did that come from?
22 minutes. It's just, I know my brain is not completely functional yet.
We're both kind of simmering down.
Though there's no time difference between Atlanta, Georgia, and Detroit, Michigan, I feel like I have jet lag. so just pardon me tonight.
Well, I finally got to see Afterlife last night.
You
we,
did.
We went out ghost hunting last night. We went to
Goodrich. I got my copies in the mail while I was gone. So
We went to Goodrich Cemetery and we went to Custer Cemetery and me and Will were heading back and he had a copy of it, so I'm like, hey, you mind if you want to hang out and watch it? So I finally got to see it. Phenomenal.
He has a collector's edition of it.
Yeah, he has a collector's edition, but I was blown away. Tom did a great job of that. We talked about this last week pretty in depth, but I just wanted to tell Tom on the air myself that I saw it, and great job. Applause all the way around. I sound like a complete moron, but that's okay.
No, it really worked. It really worked. Your voiceover.
Well, what's funny
really
is because we were having all kinds of weird things trying to figure out how, what Tom wanted from that. And after watching the movie now, I know exactly what he wants.
Ah,
I know exactly what he wanted.
Yeah,
but it came. I mean, I think it all came together really well. But great job, Tom. Thank you for the opportunity, because that was really cool for me to put on my resume. And it's already on there too, by the way. It's already on there. But great. I mean, funny, fun. I mean, it really encompasses everything that goes into ghost hunting. A healthy group.
Okay, now you had gone out ghost hunting, then went back and watched Afterlife.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you wanted to go back out and go ghost hunting again? Because that's what I got when I watched it. I'm like, I want to go. I want to go. I want to go ghost hunting. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It was just amazing.
It encompassed everything, though, which was great. I mean, a lot of the people that were part of that movie are no longer with us. But looking back on that, I mean, it wasn't too long ago when that thing was actually being filmed. And looking back on that, it was kind of like a nice nostalgic thing for me to see all that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like, I was there for the majority of the time.
For a lot of that,
seeing people the funny stuff, goofy things that happen when you're out there and you get spooked by stupid things. And you see what it actually is, and you're like, oh, God, what am I freaking out for? What's going on? But, no, well done. He used that scene from Morrow Road with me and him in the car.
Oh, did you see when you turned your head to look? Like,
some of my more colorful language came out.
Did he bleep it or was it?
No, he didn't bleep it. It's right there, man. It's in its full, pathetic, filthy glory. I love it.
This film has been rated R.
Oh. And the end is my favorite. We watched the whole thing. We watched the whole tape. It has how the captain got his groove back, another thing Tom was working on, and all the trailers and everything that are online at papertarget.net.
He put that on the tape?
Yeah, it's all on the tape.
Even on my tape?
Yeah, it's on all the tapes.
Oh, wow.
And
so this is like all the Paper Target moving picture stuff.
Yeah. But the thing that made me crack up laughing out of all that cool stuff that was in the movie.
Yeah.
The very end.
Yeah.
We go through all these trailers and all this art and all this hard work he put into it. The very end goes, that's it. Be kind. Please rewind.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even
I about that. Died. I about died. I was laughing out loud at the end of the movie. So, regardless, I want to cut that off. I don't want to be part by it, but Great job.
I know. Well, you got everybody, you know, all over the world who's listening to Ghostly Talk is going to be like, oh, they're going on and on and on.
No, go to papertarget.net and buy that movie.
Well, what happens is this movie was it was kind of a, you know, having Tom and the Paper Target guys hang around with us for the past summer was a really interesting, awesome time for us.
Tom himself, he's filming it, but he has input.
Yeah.
And that's what Tom's a great guy to hang out with, too. He just cracks me up. And he always has good input, too. And he's a skeptic. We all know that. But he isn't the kind of skeptic that will totally denounce every single stupid thing that you talk about. He will listen to you. And that's a healthy skeptic. And that's what I was saying about the whole movie itself. It's just a healthy movie to watch. It's the way, at times, a ghost hunting group or an organization or a group of people should go about things, you know, because it was a healthy relationship. You got to have a little, you got to laugh. I mean, it isn't anything you're going to see. They're not going to be putting this like on the Discovery Channel.
Unfortunately
not.
It should be on IFC or something.
I mean, I am not going to denounce any of the professional groups out there because they are doing a great job. Some of these people, they have invested a lot of money into what they do and their skill and their craft
and time and learning. Yeah. I mean,
you know, and that's
this is a really in-depth hobby that we got.
Yeah, that's the high end of what we're doing. Most of the people, you know, you got the upper 1%.
Yeah,
and you got the rest of us losers here in the working class, okay? That's what this video represents, really, to me. When I got out of it, was like, this represents more working class, down home.
Yeah.
Only thing I can really afford is a camera, a ghost hunter.
Yeah.
So
I got a camera, I'm going to go out to a cemetery at night.
Yeah.
That's us. And that's what,
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, the professionalism's there and the fun's there, too.
But I think the reason we're talking about it, you know, we've devoted, you know, I talked about it last week and we're talking about it again this week, is that it really was an intrusive thing. It was part of what we did this whole summer.
Yeah.
Was you know, Tom was with us working on Afterlife.
Yeah.
So it was like there. It was part of what we were doing.
Mm.
And so it became a very important part of our
month.
It was
a great way. I mean, how lucky could we be?
Oh, we were. I know.
Everybody involved, Will, yourself also, all of us being involved with something like that. I mean, we're all pretty, well, you've been doing this for longer than I have. But for me, especially, only been, you know, really hardcore into this for about a year now. A little over a year. To actually be involved with something like that, it's like, wow, that's cool. So thanks again, Tom.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a quick break?
Okay,
we've been blabbing for like a half an hour.
I know, and you guys, okay, after the break, we are really going to talk about something.
Yeah.
We're going to try and dig our teeth into...
We've been so busy lately, and a lot of the stuff ties right into what we're doing here in the basement on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And we thought it'd be great these last couple weeks. I know every week we're like, okay, next week we're going to talk about real stuff. But it all ties in together. I mean, because this is part of our lives, and wherever we go, our antlers are pointed up.
Yeah.
And we're always on the alert to hear about somebody telling some ghost story or something that's going on, and we're always willing to look into it and see what it's all about. So we think it's really important to report this to you guys. And this is what ghost hunters do. We go out there, and if we're at the 7-Eleven getting a big gulp or a Slurpee or whatever, and somebody goes, hey, you know the 7-Eleven's haunted? Really?
Really? Tell us about it. Yeah.
You know, tell me about it. And this is local stuff around us because we're a Detroit-based show. Sorry if you guys in Europe or all over the country, you can't
get out. Oh, man, not me. Europe is so haunted.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to be out there.
Oh, yeah. But for the people here, it's something you can check out, too, and we're willing to report that to you.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain degree. That's why we talk about this kind of stuff. But we will talk about something real here in a couple
minutes. We're going to talk about Battlefield Ghosts.
Yes, Battlefield.
It sort of ties into
Ties right in. We got
stuff like that.
Some of the stories are just really cool.
So we're going to talk about Battlefield Ghosts after the break.
We'll be right back.
Ghost hunting, my ethereal anti-drug.
It's paranormally scientific. It's ghost talk.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts,
Doug
and Scott L.
Okay.
That is it. We are back.
We're back. So, all right. What are we going to talk about this week, I was thinking to myself, as Doug was on vacation enjoying himself. And I told Doug I would take care of business here. I would hold down the fort and make sure everything was cool. So, Sunday afternoon.
Well, yeah, because I actually was online at, what, 3 a.m. or something last night.
And I bumped out.
You popped up and said, what are we going to talk about? Oh, no.
Regardless of, like, what we said at the beginning of the show, my life is still a complete hell. But in a good way, it's just very busy. But I managed, I think this is something very important. And somebody suggested on the message board for us to speak about Battlefield Ghosts. I mean, Ghosts, not Battlefield Goats.
Ghosts with us.
Excellent subject. Or if you think about it, obviously, I mean, it's something me and Doug could probably talk about for hours upon end. What better place to check out for ghosts than where some, like, where numerous people, thousands of people, have been killed?
Right. And, well, that falls into the theory, because the theory that people tend to go with is that haunted places are, or, you know, a place where you'll more hopefully, you know, find a, or not hopefully, but, you know, find a haunting, are places where tragic deaths or tragedy and emotion and, you know, I mean, like, actual... Like, it leaves your energy. Yeah. Your energy there because you have so much emotion, and then there's this tragic, you know, happening, a death or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
sudden death.
Sudden death?
Sudden death is where I was thinking about it more on those lines. Cause
sudden deaths, tragic, or you know, energy-filled deaths occur.
Well,
battlefields fall right into that. Mm-hmm. Because, and people also, you know, like when you go out to cemeteries, the theory is, as I understand it, that ghosts or these entities are comfortable there because that's where their body is, which they were attached to for how many years, and then you know, so they're comfortable there, so they may hang around cemeteries.
Yeah.
But the opposite thing for battlefields, but the same, same result. They may hang out in battlefields where the sudden deaths happened. You know, and that might just be where their energy is easiest to, you know, see on the other side.
That, or I actually devised a theory.
Oh,
and this is somewhat in depth, but it's ground level, so I can understand it, so I know everybody else can too.
You did not warn me on this, so
no, you'll like this.
You're laying it on me right now.
It's all live. When I was doing research on this, I'm trying all kinds of combinations in Google, trying all kinds of weird things. And Gettysburg come up tenfold.
The
whole first page is Gettysburg.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a really cool story from Gettysburg, obviously. My theory, and it's very loosely, I might add that term, okay? You're standing there, and some dude loads a cannon and shoots a big cannonball at you.
Ugh. Yeah.
Okay? Have you ever been hit by a bowling ball?
I've been hit by a softball, and it was not comfortable.
Getting hit with a bowling ball sucks. I've actually done it. I don't even want to get into the details because it's ridiculous. But getting hit by a bowling ball going, you know, what, a couple miles an hour?
Yeah.
It hurts. You know, I was, you know, a tough guy. I mean, getting hit in the gut with a cannonball. You know, I thought I could hang with it, but no, it don't happen. Thank you, spring break. But, okay, so you're standing in a battlefield, though, going, you damn Yankees, and somebody shoots a cannon at you.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, either way. Somebody shoots a cannon at you. You get hit by this cannonball. Okay? The velocity of that. Now, we're talking about energies. We're trying to approach this from a scientific, like, viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about energies. Okay? We've actually talked about theories that, you know, they've actually taken things and said, you know, the person is alive, they weigh this much. Person dies, they weigh this much. And it actually tried to weigh a soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You get hit by a cannonball. You're obviously going to get hit very hard. I mean, cannonballs don't go very slow.
No, they're not like tossing.
And they're heavy, too, by the way.
Yeah.
You didn't know that. They're heavy.
It's not like tossing a bowling ball or a softball even very fast.
Because
they have mass. They're heavy.
Yeah.
And
so you get hit by a cannonball. Now, it's going to kill you. We all know that. It kills you.
Well, that's the point in a war.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's it. Yeah.
So you get hit by the cannonball, though. The force hits you so hard that literally your soul or your energy or whatever you want to call it just gets kicked out of your body. Now, we're talking about G-force here.
Okay.
Okay, Will, come here. I'm going to illustrate. Here's the cannonball coming at Will, all right? Whammo! Okay, Will was flying back. The cannonball hits him so hard that... I mean, you know, like, okay, I want to explain this properly. Well, for example, if you hit a wall and you're not seatbelted into your car,
right.
What's your body gonna do?
It's gonna fly forward. The wall, yeah. Until it hits the wall, which will stop suddenly. Yeah.
This is the opposite of that. The cannonball hits you, your soul might just stay there. It might just
stay
get thrown
there,
out of your body.
But your body is thrown back,
and you're dead.
Your soul is separated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sudden death, traumatic death, to say the least. Okay.
The physics of death. Oh my God. Okay. This is deep stuff.
No, but I was thinking about that real hard. Like, I mean, you can picture it. You can. I'm sure there's been some movies about it where, because when you die, let's say you just have like a regular death, you know, you're laying in bed, your loved ones are around you, and you die. Well, your soul has time to like, okay, I'm gonna get out of here now. So you float up and you see St. Peter or whatever.
You see the whole thing.
But when you get hit by a cannon,
it's sudden.
And that literally may knock your soul out of your body and knock you off complete balance with your body. Your body is like, if you get hit by a cannonball, I don't think there's going to be much left of you. You know?
Right, your body is no longer resuscitatable.
Okay, let's say the soul is a living, breathing, thinking thing. Let's just say it's a thinking, you can think. You're looking around, okay, where'd my body go? Well, you get hit by a cannonball.
Right.
There's nothing left of you, you're done.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go, roaming around. And that's where you get all these stories from Gettysburg. Well, like that story that you have in your hands over there, we'll talk about that in a second, Old Green Eyes. He was a gentleman that had his head blown off by a cannon,
ooh,
supposedly.
Yeah.
That would suck. Let's just make that very clear. That actually wasn't in Gettysburg. That was at, hit me with that name again, because I'm an idiot.
Chickamauga?
Chickamauga,
it's a river, the River of Death. I want to talk about this Gettysburg story first, because this is like, like a war story, like a real...
Yeah.
It's something like that, okay?
Actually, his head wasn't blown off, his body was blown off.
His body was blown off?
And all I had left to
bury
was...
Well, his body was blown off his head. His head was blown off his body.
Well, all that was left to bury was his head.
Oh, okay.
I like ghost hunting, but this morbid stuff really gets to me.
No.
All right, but
check this story out,
but let's,
okay?
Yeah, let's do the war story.
This is a great story. Now,
okay.
The story you think, well, Gettysburg, there's ghosts all over Gettysburg. Today, we walk around, we find ghosts. This is a good twist. That's why I really wanted to read this on the air. Gettysburg, Pennsylvania has its share of brushes with the paranormal. We talked about that already. During this gruesome battle, the apparition of George Washington appeared to the Confederate troops and caused a major retreat, perhaps gave the Union troops a victory. He appeared to them. Okay? Did I miss a... Yeah. Edward Stanton, Secretary of War under Abraham Lincoln, even went as far as to conducting an official investigation of the incident. On that July day of 1863, General Oliver Hunt recalled the event as the impetus that gave his men the victory at Gettysburg. He was attempting to defend a hill called Little Round Top, and his men were holding their ground even though sheets of bullets and gunfire were constantly cutting down wave after wave of the enemy, okay? So there's a lot of people shooting stuff at them. Suddenly, the Union men ran out of ammunition, and General Hunt was sure he would have no retreat. A tall figure astride a white horse suddenly appeared in the midst of the battle. The rider was dressed in the era of the Revolutionary War. Hunt swears that this man's face was that of George Washington, the father of our country. Little side note, by the way, for you people, I'm going to set my PayPal account still. My birthday's on George Washington's birthday, February 22nd.
Oh, how cool.
Okay, so at this point, the figure simply raised his hand and led a charge down the hill at the rebels, who were taken off guard at such a bold maneuver. Raising their bayonets, the men swooped down on the rebels, who turned and fled. Okay? So they old-schooled them, basically. Even to this day, strange reports still surface of a man mounted on a magnificent white stallion that gallops through the battlefields. He is often described as having a luminous aura or hazy white glow around him. He appears to be wearing a tricorn hat, and while some people have attempted to flag him down, he never hears them and just rides away and disappears. Pretty cool. I mean, I think it's a very neat story because it's like, He basically like said, okay guys, let's do it. You know, who was that guy? I hate to bring up 9/11, but that guy who was the one plane that crashed in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing that. They're like, let's roll. That's what the guy said.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
Let's roll.
Kind of the same attitude we got here. We're screwed. We're in a corner. what are we going to do? And George Washington supposedly came back from the dead and saved the Union saved the Union soldiers, where they, well, they saved themselves, basically. But
yeah.
Real crazy story.
That's awesome.
Crazy story.
And but what's really good about that particular story is that's a haunting story even before now. I mean, it happened during the battle, right?
It's got a real comic book feel to it, though.
Yeah. But it happens during the battle.
During the war. That's what really caught me on.
Because nowadays, from what I understand, Gettysburg the battlefields around Gettysburg is where, I mean, there's just all kinds of stories that happen
to
there.
To this day,
even
I mean,
now.
Yeah, right now, where people, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Just about the whole thing. It's like, look, we've talked about this a million times on this show. Places where there are violent deaths, sudden deaths, you know, morbid things going on, usually have a lot of activity. What better place to go to than a battlefield, for God's sakes? I mean, a
right.
place where people died.
Right.
Thousands of people died.
Suddenly.
So it goes without saying that that's cool, but that story was very neat because it's like, this happened during the war, when it was going on. In the middle of the war, George Washington pops out on his big white horse with his tricorn hat on.
Yeah.
Looking all, like, just buffed out like those guys did back then. And said, let's go get him. Let's roll. You know, and fun story. Uplifting story, too. But very interesting, too, at that. If that actually happened, whoa.
Oh, well, that would mean that there would have been a lot of witnesses.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and it would have, you know, helped turn the tide.
Yeah, so
in a battle.
That's not it, though. Yeah, there's tons of stories out there. There are tons of stories out there on this. It's
well, let me do a brief interlude.
Okay.
I want to talk about what I've heard they experienced at Kennesaw.
Okay.
Evidently, because I was just down to Kennesaw, you know, battlefield.
Yeah.
And they, now it's closed at night, so you're not really allowed to go at
mm-hmm.
night. And I didn't go at night myself, because I was with, you know, a bunch of people who didn't, you know, weren't into ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
However, we, from what I understand, according to the Shadowlands and the stories that I've heard, when I was down there, you can, if you go there at night, sometimes you can actually hear the old, you know, the gunshots, the marching orders,
mm-hmm.
the you know, things going on from the battle, which would to me be more an imprint kind of thing.
It's a residual haunting.
Residual haunting.
Yeah.
You can hear the residual haunting.
That's like a trademark characteristic of all
of
these battlefields.
Did
you hear gunshots going off?
The orders.
Loud gunshots.
Yeah.
Not just like, I mean, you know, like in the distance. Loud gunshot. Cannons being fired. But you ever heard a cannon get fired, like a real cannon? You have to wear hearing protection 40 feet back. It's deafening. It's ridiculous. Things like that, lots of, you know, like marching orders, like you were saying. Trademark characteristic, residual hauntings, which makes a lot of sense if you do this stuff as much as me and Doug do.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's
but yeah.
Whatever went on there, yeah.
I'd still like to catch that kind of stuff on tape.
Oh, of course.
The residual haunting noise, I would love to get that on tape.
Oh, yes.
And visual, if there's visual. But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens at Kennesaw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of stuff I would have liked to have gotten on tape.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing
stuff. This is another thing, too, with these places also. Like, we talked about going to Mansfield. We talked about going to all these cool places. Even just going there to these places is just an experience in itself, even if you're not looking for ghosts. Because it's like, where am I standing right now? Thousands of people were just hacking each other to pieces, you know.
On this battlefield
at one time. And that's enough to numb you right there, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. Well, the United States doesn't, I mean, we've had, what, the Revolutionary War, we had Indian Wars, that kind of thing. We had Civil War,
uh-huh.
and a few others, but we haven't had the kind of, like, ongoing for centuries and upon centuries upon centuries of battles like other, you know, like European countries have had.
The strange thing, too, is when
or in Asia, they had, you know, why they built the Great Wall of China was to keep the attackers out.
I'm sure they had their own stories, but when I was doing, like, big searches on this stuff, everything that came up was, like, American history.
Yeah.
It all had to do with American history, and it's, like, all these, like, southern ghosts. Lots of ghosts. I mean, I didn't really see too many things, like, in Europe or in China, that what you'd think, like, China, God, of all the places. But not too much came up on that. A lot of the stuff from American history, straight up, like, you know, like I said, old Green Eyes here. That's the next person we're going to talk about.
Okay.
This guy's great.
Well, let's talk about him.
This is worse. This is worse than Big Nasty. If any of you old school,
listeners,
any of you old school listeners here, okay. I'm a Chickamauga. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so.
Chickamauga. Okay, Chickamauga. That's how we're gonna pronounce it right now. Chickamauga is derived from the ancient Cherokee word meaning river of death, and death was all around this heavily wooded area. Occasionally spotted with uncultivated vine-strewn thicket matted stretches of ground, sometimes disturbed by outcroppings of livestock. God, that's a long sentence. In other words, land that no farmer would have bothered, since it would have required a massive amount of work and toil to bring up the minimal farming standards. The real prize that the Union Army hoped to gain from the battle was to capture Chattanooga, which was the rail center and major city of the Middle South. Chickamauga National Military Park is the oldest and largest of such military or battlefield parks, and is extremely scenic and beautiful, in case you want to go sightseeing. Visitors to the park may take a tape recorded tour of the area with maps and machines for a nominal fee.
Well, they didn't have, you know, what's interesting, Chickamauga, I believe, is also in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go there. But they didn't have, although on Kennesaw Mountain,
uh-huh,
what they do have, is, and I'm sure they undoubtedly have similar things at,
yeah,
Chickamauga, is they have the actual dugouts where they built these, like, U-shaped mounds of dirt,
uh-huh,
and then they put a cannon in there,
uh-huh,
in the U part,
mm-hmm,
of this, and then the soldiers of the Civil War would basically hang out behind the mound of dirt, and then when they needed to, fire the cannon at people trying to take the mountain, at the Northerners.
I don't know how anybody would even come near a mountain had a cannon like that, and those cannons were just humongous. And they were solid. I think they made up. Wouldn't they make them out of solid lead?
Well, trying to move this thing. Now you're not allowed to play on the cannon because they've got signs all over. But they've got actual cannons, you know, all over the place, and they're in the mounds. They're,
yeah,
still there in the mounds, and these cannons are big pieces of equipment. I mean, they're not huge like, you know, they're not humongous like a refrigerator big,
uh-huh,
you know, laying on its side. They're more like a. Oh, I can't describe the size, but
well,
maybe 36-inch TV kind of size.
Yeah, well, anybody
but
that has a half a head that knows what those things do.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's scary. So,
oh, yeah.
All right, so Edward Tenney is the supervisory master.
That's Chickamauga,
ranger. Yeah. Chickamauga. He is a supervisory ranger and chief historian at Chickamauga. He was very okay. Perhaps the most bizarre story concerns Old Green Eyes. Who or what is Old Green Eyes? There are two legends concerning this. One is that a Confederate soldier's head was severed from his body, which was blown to bits by a cannonball. You said it was his body was separated from his head.
That's what it said.
His head was blown to bits.
Yeah, they messed it up, I think.
Okay, all right. All that was left to bury was his head, and according to legend, on misty nights he roams the battlefield, moaning mournfully, searching for his body. I'd be upset, too. I'd be a little upset, too.
Yeah.
Where'd my head go?
Oh, my gosh.
Another legend is quoted as saying that Old Green Eyes roamed the area long before the Civil War and was even seen moving among the dead at Snodgrass Hill during a lull in the fighting. Okay, so that was another, Snodgrass Hill was another war going on. Probably, I'm not a history major, obviously. Probably the most stubborn phase of the campaign was at Snodgrass Hill, which is some of the roughest and hilliest terrain in the entire park area. Longstreet attempted many times to fight to the top of the hill, but was repelled over and over again, even though he made occasional inroads to the crest. Many people visiting the park near dusk have seen two big glowing eyes approaching them and have heard an agonizing groan sound which sent shivers up and down their spines. Charlie Fisher, another ranger, says that in the early 1970s, two different people both wrecked their automobiles against the same tree. They both sworn to have seen Old Green Eyes. Charlie, however, has not seen him. Ed Tinney did see old green eyes on several occasions. He saw it one foggy night while walking along one of the trails which winds through the park. He said the shape was human-like, but wasn't human. When he first saw it, it was less than 30 feet away and passed right by him. He described the hair on the thing as long, like a woman's hair, with eyes almost greenish-orange in color. Its teeth were long and pointed like fangs and was wearing a cape which seemed to be flapping in the wind. Even though there was no wind.
Okay. Well, that doesn't sound like a soldier.
No.
That description is not that a description of a soldier.
Yeah.
It's a description of a thing.
Or a vampire or something.
Yeah.
Got fangs and a cape.
Yeah.
Hollywood vampire.
Hollywood vampire.
With long hair and green eyes. Regardless of something
I don't know.
I don't really want to come face to face with something like that.
Me either, although I'd love to get it on film before I, you know.
Before I ran out of there like a little girl.
Yeah. Crashed my car.
Yeah.
Well, the one time, and you know this, when you and I were driving into that one cemetery, Salem Walker, I don't remember, one of the cemeteries around here.
You got spooked.
Yeah.
You got way spooked.
We come around this bend where there's this tree,
And
there was a person standing there. And I got spooked. I really did.
You did. And I mean, I don't know if you heard about this or not, Will.
Did I jam the brakes? I don't know.
You jammed the brakes.
I don't know what I did.
I put my hand in the windshield. Well, we were just coming around, and we're doing our usual thing. We're spooking off. And we come around the bend. And we're like, you know, it was dark out. We couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden, Doug's like, and he jumps on the brakes. And I'm like, what? You know, and he's like, there was something right there. I mean, Doug does not do this.
I did. I got freaked. And now, if I were like down at Chickamauga, and something like that came at me, I think my initial reaction would be to just completely stop and shut down, because that's what my initial reaction was.
Yeah.
You know, when we turned that bend,
yeah.
and saw that, I saw
well,
that.
What are we
thing.
Doing here?
Yeah, but I...
Really, I mean, all joking aside, me running away like a little girl, what are we doing here? I mean, we're trying to prove the existence of the afterlife and ghosts.
Right.
So if something we see looks like a ghost, we're going to stay there and look at it and go, geez, what could that be?
Yeah.
And if you get killed, you get killed. I mean, you know, ghost hunting is like marijuana. Nobody's been killed by it yet, so I don't really think... bad pun, but, you know...
That's a really bad pun for a family show, but...
It's the truth, though. Yeah. I mean, it's the truth.
The thing is, I really did, instead of, like, my flight response, because everybody has a fight or flight kind of...
Response to a stressful situation, yeah.
Yeah, so your instinct is going to be one of fight or flight, usually. And I think my response immediately upon seeing whatever that was at that one cemetery when we come around the bend and I saw that whatever it was to stop, completely stop. And that was my response. So I think my response if I see something like that would be to just completely stop, not turn and run.
Well, like I said, well, what we're doing...
Otherwise, I would have gunned the engine and said, oh, there was something back there. But my response was to completely stop and exclaim.
Yeah.
I went, ha! Or something
there
like
that. Somebody there.
I made some
you said that's
of,
you're
yeah.
like, there was somebody there. And
yeah.
I'm like, no kidding, huh?
Yeah.
And we jumped right out with the cameras.
And we after the initial shock.
Well, after I pet Doug, it's okay. He's sobbing and screaming and crying. And I'm like, dude, just calm down. It's okay, you know. It's like, come on, let's get outside and walk around, get some air, and you'll be
and
all
we
right.
Did. We got out. Yeah. We started shooting pictures, but he didn't make himself known again. But
yeah, well, like I said, though, it's like, I mean, for a situation like that.
Hey, Kelly.
Oh, hi.
That's Hawaii. She's from
when are you going to fly us out?
She wants. Yeah, we'd have to fly ourselves out.
Well, we can stay there, though, right? We can chill at her place?
Yeah.
Cool, all right. Well, next weekend. Let's do it.
I need to dig into my frequent flyer miles.
Hey, I'm on vacation. Like, after this week, I'm on vacation. So, hey, you know, I could probably scrounge up a couple $100 for like a chicken flight, you know.
You'd have to ride
like
the
Muppets,
in the cargo hold or whatever.
You, me, you know, they fly like the Muppets. You know,
the three chickens.
Ghostly talk host.
But yeah, the oh, cool. Wait, where is home, Kelly? Where, is home
South Carolina?
South Carolina. Well, if you get a chance, I hear Savannah, Georgia, which is what, one state down,
not too far away
from South Carolina.
Check it
like
out.
Uber haunted. So, all right, back to the ghost.
The fight or flight response is good, though. I mean, as far as the flight, you don't
want
to fly. You
want
to sit there. I know your instinct was to freeze up.
Was to freeze up, and which is actually pretty cool because
for what we're doing,
for what we're doing, that's what we need.
As soon
to
as
do.
You get back to your senses, you go, "Hey,
I just saw a ghost.
I'm gonna check that out." So we did. We jumped out and looked around, but unfortunately, nothing really came out. I mean, who knows? And mind you, I mean. We try to be as like level-headed as possible out there too. I mean, we've seen all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's like, dude, it was a branch. We hear all kinds of weird sounds last night.
The bird.
We hear all kinds of funny sounds and things. There was leaves falling on the ground. Chill out.
Yeah.
I know you're dark and you're in a cemetery, but
but it's also windy and
it's windy. Yeah, but still, we were talking about. We mentioned we went to Custer last night, and the same thing in that weird corner. The air was just still. Again, the air was just still again. We walked out of that, got a little breeze. Air was still. You go back in that corner. Something's up there. I don't know what's up, but very interesting though. We hung out there and we didn't really do any talking or anything like that. We just kind of stood there and said, "Okay, come on out."
Did you hear like footsteps from beyond that corner?
No,
because not that particular corner, but the other corner, like. Where there's the long, narrow part of it, and then it opens up into a square kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's the back left corner, but the back, or the front left corner where it opens up into the square.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, in there, we hear, like, actual movements and stuff like that. You didn't hear anything from over there?
No.
And nothing other than, like, leaves falling.
That's spooked by a tombstone, though.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
Easy. Oh. Easy to do there, though.
No.
What was your instant reaction? To freeze up or to run? Or to...
Oh, bleep! That's exactly what it was, man.
I mean, boom!
No, we were walking through the brush back in that corner. You know that when you walk through the... If you walk through, it would be going west.
Yeah.
You come through that side, and you're heading west into the brush. With those little trees there.
Yeah.
You gotta kind of, hold your camera lens so you don't get it scratched up.
Right.
Well, we're walking through there, and all of a sudden, I just saw something in the brush. It's dark outside, and we didn't have a flashlight. We had that one that Shelly's flashlight went dead on us.
It went dead?
Yeah, and she's like, I put brand new batteries in this thing.
You described this flashlight. It was, like, humongous, right?
Yeah.
Was it a million candle power kind of thing, or
was it a
camping kind?
Yeah, it was a multi-use flashlight, from what I've heard. But
and it went dead.
My batteries went dead on my camera, too, at that place.
Yeah. So, kind of weird. But we were walking through the brush, though, and I just, like, me and him were, like, he's behind me, and I'm walking through, and all of a sudden there was, like, a tombstone right there. Big, tall one.
Oh, okay.
And it was, like, a skinny one, so it kind of, like, "Whoa, what was that?" And he's like, Yeah, so I'm like, great. So I had to, like, get stomped on for the rest of the trip. Like, "Oh, you got scared of a tombstone." But weird, same thing though. I got spooked, but then I saw it's a tombstone.
But your instinct wasn't to run away.
No.
Well, that's good.
Why would I run away?
That's good.
Like, well, you make jokes here, like
that's true.
But why would you run away? Nothing. I really don't think anything.
Did you get the feeling in your stomach? Like, did your stomach like fall?
No.
Like you were in a.
No, it was just a startle. I just got startled.
Well, when this kind of stuff happens to me, I feel like I was in an elevator. And, it just like...
I just got startled a little bit, just enough for him to make fun of me.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I
had to back up a couple of steps.
I backed up.
The best stories about you always seem to come from that cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because I don't know why, but there's other stories about you in custody. So...
But that's a good thing to think about, though. We never really, talked about that. Like, what would happen if you actually, come face-to-face with a ghost? They really did.
Right.
Like, okay, here's the proof.
Well,
I'm standing right here in front of you.
Guess what? I'm here. Are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I think I'd probably be like a deer in headlights. Just like,
yeah.
There's something there, and I'm just like completely frozen solid. That's
well,
what
I don't care who you are. And this goes for the high end.
Yeah, even the
and
high
the working
end.
Class like us. And even there's probably the slum of the ghost hunter world, too, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't talked to anyone, but.
I'm sure any one of us in any of those three realms would do the same thing, though.
No, because there is different, and you know what's interesting? We have a professor on the Michigan Ghostbusters board, so maybe we'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
There's the fight or flight response, which I'm sure it's got to kick in.
Oh yeah.
And so that means like even though
People though.
I tend to stop. When I get startled like that, I tend to stop.
Uh-huh.
And exclaim, but I don't exclaim cuss words. I just like, you know, my breath escapes.
Uh-huh.
But you evidently stop and exclaim, you know, more vocally. And then
colorfully, yeah.
Yeah, and then but there's got to be people who, if they get startled, instantly turn and run.
Possibly. I guess if you think about it that way, I'm looking at it from the point of like going, okay, we're all the same here. We're all looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
Therefore, we should all react the same way. But you have the right idea, though. We're all different people, though, at the same time. And regardless of, like, well, I want to see a ghost, so I'm going to go out and find one. Well, just so happens you bump into one that night, and you're like,
what are you going to
do? And you're like, maybe I shouldn't have been out here in the first place.
Yeah.
It's definitely, ghost hunting isn't for everybody, obviously. I mean, we've seen people cry.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen people dragged out of Mansfield crying. We've seen people on Afterlife. On Afterlife, we have a girl on there who was bawling her eyes out, freaking out.
They started crying
while she was talking about it. She couldn't even talk about it anymore.
And walked away, yeah.
I've actually had grown men run from Custer.
Wow.
Well, I believe that place was evil last year. It got, during the later in the winter and then spring, summer, and most of the fall, it seems to be pretty cool. But there's a certain time in the fall where it's just, like, oppressive.
It was May and June when I had people run from Custer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, for me, it was the fall that it was, like, really oppressive. But, you guys, I know we didn't get to talk nearly enough about Battlefield Ghosts, but
we'll get back to that, though.
I hope so.
We will.
We're going to actually go down to Monroe. Battlefield of, what was it, the War of 1812 or something? I don't know.
River Raisin.
Yeah, River Raisin Battlefield. It wasn't a civil war. It wasn't a revolutionary. It was some other war. Evidently.
It's War of 1812.
War of 1812.
Okay.
And we're going to go there, we're going to investigate it, we'll be able to report more on that and more on Battlefield Ghosts in general after I read my book that I bought.
like we said, we've had a lot of stuff going on in the last few weeks.
Yep.
And a lot of it tied right into the show, and we thought it would be very important and fun to talk about this stuff on this.
Oh, yeah.
So I know we haven't really, like, the last month.
Yeah, we haven't really gotten sunk
into
a true ghostly talk kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I miss that personally, but it's also important. Hey, look, this is we're out there every day.
We're doing
well,
this.
Well, every weekend.
We're doing.
Whenever we can to get out there and go, look, this is what happens in the real world. And hopefully it can help you guys out, too, and give you ideas about how you want to approach it. For instance, the fight or flight response. Think about that. I don't think people really think about it. What would you do if you really ran into a classic ghost?
Right.
A hazy figure.
And how could you test yourself beforehand?
There's no way.
I think I know what I'd do now that I sort of did run into that, what I thought was a man or a person or whatever it was, and I just instantly stopped. Everything locked up in me.
Okay.
And so I think I know what I would do now. That's going to be my instinct.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do anything about your instinct.
I honestly think for someone who's never been through anything like that, though, it's kind of the same thing as, like, you get held up by a gun. What are you going to do? Are you going to bash the guy in the head and, like, get the gun out of his hands? Or are you going to, okay, take everything, just don't hurt me? Same type of equation right there. What are you going to do if you run into somebody? What do you do?
Fight or flight?
More things to think about. I mean, if there's anything you get out of these shows every week, we try to drop things on people to go, hey, you know, think about that.
Yeah.
What happened? So, next week,
I want to talk about cryptozoology for a second.
Yeah, we're going to get back on track here and start talking about
next week will be a real in-depth, you know, like, we're really going to sink our fangs into cryptozoology if we possibly
And then
can.
Coming up, we're taking a little trip, it's on the 21st, isn't it?
That's the 21st.
Yeah.
Of November.
Yeah, we're going to Reynolds Cemetery.
Reynolds Cemetery in Jackson, Michigan.
Yeah, all-night thing happens every year. Last year, unfortunately, I couldn't make it. Doug went, but that was before we were doing this show.
Yeah.
But this year, we're going to have a special show on Reynolds Cemetery.
Eunice White and Jacob Crouch.
Yeah, we're going to be out there giving out CDs.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the usual thing.
Last year, there were dozens of people that showed up.
Yeah,
happened to find the story on, I think it's on, like, two websites.
Yeah.
And it's also printed in books. Michigan Haunts and Hauntings by that lady.
Well, the gentleman from the Great Lakes, my brain stopped. Great Lakes Ghost Investigators.
GLGHS.
GLGHS.
Yeah.
Great Lakes Ghost Hunters
Society.
Is that right? Okay, I haven't been to that site in a while. He was really promoing that hard last year.
But then they didn't go.
They didn't go.
No.
Well, I haven't been to his site in a while, but I'm wondering if he's really promoting that himself. I'd like to meet the gentleman if you do listen to the show, which I hope you do. drop us a line.
Well,
like
he's a bigwig in Royal Oak, so he may not listen to us.
But he was promoting it real hard last year. I hope he's doing the same thing this year. And for all you who are listening, Reynolds Cemetery, look it up, get the directions. We're going to be out there hanging out that night, and maybe we'll bring a tape recorder and like interview people or something.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be
cool.
We'll out there
bring
like
my laptop
15 hours, so we might as well do something.
Yeah.
So we're going to have all the gear out there. So we're going to be out of here for now.
That's it for the show.
Next week, cryptozoology.
I hope. If we can
we
get
can
stuff
it.
Together.
We can do it.
We can do it.
We can do that. We did it this week. You did it wrong all week. So next week, though, cryptozoology. Come back next week. Have fun. Be good. Be safe. Think about ghost thing. Think
and
about that stuff.
Yep. And until then, this has been Ghostly Talk.
Yep.